Today's daf is daf Samach Aleph, and we're holding our last three words on Samach Omid Beis. So we said yesterday that if somebody says to a woman that Harayat Mekudeshet Li'amanat She'erech Beit Kur Afar, he has to show her a Beit Kur Afar, which is his own. And the question is, what exactly constitutes a Beit Kur Afar? How do we measure the Beit Kur Afar? Is it measured from its external measurements, or do we actually take into consideration the contours of the land in making it a Beit Kur? Now, we know that that's Nogea two places, other than this one, where it's Nogea technically. One is the dinim of Steyachuza, where the halacha over there is a very strange halacha. Just like we have a concept of arachim for human beings, which are defined in some objective standard based on your age and your sex, nothing else. Doesn't matter how many skills you have and so on. There's also an equivalent thing by a steyachuza, somebody who's marked steyachuza to hegdesh. So the Torah gives a set amount for every beit kur, which was called a chomer in the days of the Tanakh. So for a chomer, that you, place where you can plant one kur worth of seorim, that amount, that was a standard amount of property, for the entire 50-year period, you pay chamishim shekel. And then you prorate it depending on the number of years left to Yovel when you're poded. So there we have to define what precisely is meant by a Beit Kur. We have the same question. And then obviously we have in terms of buying and selling, what constitutes fulfillment of a contract of a Beit Kur. So those two issues are similar to the one in the Mishnah, and we do not have the same determination of a Beit Kur. Now the question is, if they're different, what's the standards for our Mishnah? So Gabi Hegdish now, when it comes to the din of somebody who's Magdish, Esteachuza, where over there the Beit Kur is defined in the Torah as the Beit Chomer Seorin, for which you'll have to pay Chamishim Shekel Kesev over the course of 49 years. So there the din is, as it says in the Mishnah, Hamagdish Sadeh, B'Sha'at HaYovel. So somebody now gives his field to Hegdesh, which is his, the field of his property. So it's a Steachuza. Over there there's a Gezerat HaKatuv, no matter how much that field is able to produce, or how little it's able to produce, there's one standard value that is given over the entire period of the Yovel, and when he wants to buy it back, he buys it back by prorating that. So notein bezera chomer saorim, he gives in for an area of land in which a chomer, which is a kur, of saorim can be planted, so that's what we call a beit kur, chamishim shekel kesef. Now, how about if there were nikaim, amukim asrat vachim, or silaim, givoim asrat vachim, enim dadinima. Suppose, however, you have ditches in this land, or you have hills in this land, and if they are now higher than 10 tefachim, then they're not counted in that land at all. But pachot mikan nimdadinima, if it's less than 10 tefachim, so then we will count that area as well as being part of the land. Says, well, what is that supposed to mean? I mean, vavina, but there we ask. Nihita bahadi ara lokachi. I mean, you could say that it's not included within that measurement, but I mean, why isn't it included on its own? Nikachu ba'apai nafshayu. Why don't we count them precisely as a separate field? In other words, you're telling me I can't count, but then they should be their own field. Here the mashma'ut is that bichlal, they're not included in this whole cheshbon. There's some question as to what that means. So according to the Rashbam in Baba Batra, the question over here is that even though they're not included within this field, they can be called a separate steyachuz and be prorated according to their size. I mean, even though they're tiny, but it does say beferish that they're, that you can have a din of steyachuz even on a tiny piece, as we're seeing. And that's the difference would be, what would the difference be? Says the Rashbam over there, the difference is whether you can propose each on its own. Tosfos doesn't like that shot for the simple reason that you can always be poda steyachuza proportionately. You don't have to be poda the whole steyachuza. In which case, this whole thing is an exercise in futility. It's the same amount. What's the difference? I call it one field, two fields. It's completely irrelevant. I can always be poda whatever section I want of it anyway. So that couldn't be the Gemara's kasha. So to summarize, there's three basic approaches when it comes to the issues over here of the Sla'im Gvoim or the Nikayim Amukim. So Tosfos seems to understand that the meaning of the pshat over here in Kuntres and Rashi's pshat is that what we're talking about here is that the Nekoim and Sloim are not considered to be part of the Soda to have a din of Steyachuza, meaning that they should have the Shir of Chamishim Shekel Kesef. However, they do, of course, have a Kedusha, and you're a poda them for whatever they're worth. The Yad Rama, on the other hand, understands that they weren't Kodesh at all And that you just simply keep them without any kind of pidyon, because they're not included within the Kedusha of the field that you were giving to Hegdesh. So where would they get the Kedusha from? And then we had the other pshat, which I mentioned, which is the Ritva, which is sort of like the Rashbam's pshat here, which is that the Nika'im and the Sla'im are Kadosh Kedei Achuza. And when we talk about Einim Dadinima, so they do have exactly the same halach of the Stei Achuza, except that they report to them separately. So if you only want to be put to the field, the smaller field, you put to the smaller field. When we put to the bigger field, we put to the bigger field. There's also another issue here, which is that Rashi, when the Gemara says the words, Nehida Bahadi Ara Lo Kotchu, Nekotchu Bapi Nafshayhu, which is not the same, really, as simply saying Nekotchu Bapi Nafshayhu. In other words, we're saying they're not counted within the field. So Rashi adds over here that apparently the Gemara is saying something else, that the nafkamina will be that if they're nimdodim b'fnei atzmam, then you will only count the area that you can actually plant, and you will certainly not count the area of the actual side where it would be going down or going up. That would not be included. Masha inkein, that's because it's not really plantable. Masha inkein, if it was included in the field, then I would have counted even that area, because basically the whole thing would be included within the field, and that part would be still area, which would sort of be bottled to the field because it's just access from one part of the field to the other, similar to what we're going to say later about Nigai Ara. So therefore, what Rashi explains to the Gemara Kiskasha is, why don't we simply look at them, at that area itself? Forget about the whole, the question of their relationship to this field. But why don't we look at them as a separate field and not include the size, the edges, as a piece of the other field? And here what it's saying is that Bahadi Ara Lokachi, that simply means that we shouldn't allow the distance on an angle going up towards the top of the Neka, towards the bottom of the Neka, or towards the top of the ridge. Why don't we now simply view it as a separate field? And that, says the Gemara, is because the Chitema, you'll try to say, that perhaps, well, if it's not a full Beit Kor, it doesn't count at all. Therefore, the Torah didn't give a value to it. Maybe that's what you're trying to say. That's not true. That kokamad lohave Beit Kor lo choshev, that's not so, because Braminu, it says beferush, why does the Torah say sodeh? So there it says, im misteachu zato yakdish ish la'ashem, same idea as erechin, vaya erkecha lefi zaro zera chomer seorim b'chamishim sheko kesef. Why doesn't it say im miachu zato? Why does it say imistei achuzato? If a person gives from his nachala, so the point over there, it says the Braita, is that I would have thought the fi shenemar zera chomer seorim b'chamishim emi ela sheikdish binyan hazeh. Since the Torah is giving this objective and a value that's unrelated to the land itself, so maybe it's gzirat hakatuv. If you give that amount of land, that's the value figured over the course of the yovel. But if you give less than that, so if you give, let's say, a half of a kur, which is called a letter, minayin rabot letter, or even a chatzi letter, or even a sa'ah, or even a tarkav. Tarkav is trey the kav, which is 2 + 1 kav, which is one half of a saw, which is 6 kav. And even a chatzi tarkav, I don't care, or a rova tarkav, or whatever, but the slightest amount, remember that land was measured not in the actual size, as we would measure today, but rather it was measured by how much seed could be put in that land. Which is a very reasonable way of measuring agricultural land. So we would take this amount of seed, standard planting, how much could you get into this piece of land? And that would be called, when we talk about a chomer, we mean take an entire chomer, a big bushel full, which is a precise measurement of seed. How much land do you need to plant this seed in a particular standard way for seorim? That's why it makes a difference. We're talking about seorim, we're talking about fitim. So the measurement was based on seorim. But here it says, beferush, it doesn't have to be necessarily a kur. In other words, there's such thing as being magdish misteachuza, one cup of seed, meaning the shear of land that I could plant this cup in. Talmud Lomar, how do I know that? From the extra word sadeh, instead of saying the im meachuzato. So this comes to me, any sadeh, I don't care what it is, don't take my measurement of zerach chomer seorim as being the only measurement. It's meant to be the standard against which everything else is prorated. That's all it's meant to be. So why then do we not count these other areas as their own field? Omar Marukva Barchama, because we're referring here, when it says if it's Lamala Miyasara, we're referring to Nik or Lamata Miyasara, the Nikaim, we're referring to Nikaim that are not only distinguished from the field by the fact that they're lower than the field, where then obviously they would have a din of a field on their own. But over here, they're Malayim Mayim Maskina. Since these are water-holding Mikayim, Mishub Delav Benezri Anina. Since they cannot be planted, and the whole idea of here is Vayar Kechalafi Zaro Zerach Omer Zorin, if it's not suitable for planting because it's always underwater, or it's not suitable for planting because it's a sela, it's a ridge, a rocky ridge on which you can't plant, so then it doesn't fit this entire halakha, which is only discussing areas of land suitable for planting and not just an area of land for parking spaces. So therefore, if, and by the way, I'm not just saying this, you can be medayik this, because why do you think we bring two examples, nikaim, I mean, you could have just said if the land was lower or higher, but instead it says, slaim gvoim, high rocks. Why rocks? Why not a hill? This is the point is that a rock is not suitable for planting. So the same way when we're giving the example of something that's above 10 tvachim, that's rocky, is that it's also not suitable for planting. That's true about when we talk about the cistern or the puddle or whatever you want to call that ditch in the land. It's talking about that it's not suitable for planting because indeed it is filled with water. Wait a minute. If it's filled with water, then why does it have to be 10 tvachim? I mean, so you're just telling me that it's an area that can't be planted. If it's an area that can't be planted, then it's not counted in measuring the field. So then it has nothing to do with how high it is or how low it is. You're making me nuts over here. First it sounded like we were distinguishing it out how high and low it is. So then I could not understand. I don't care if you want to call it a separate field, but it boils down to the same issues. Who cares? No. So then you tell me, no, it's talking about that it's filled with water. Therefore it's not counted. But if it's filled with water, it's not counted. Or it's rocky and it's not plantable, it's not counted. So then what's the relevance of it being high or low? Which is the issue over here? So the Yachya Filipachot Bikanami. Ah. The issue, now you've put your finger on it. The issue is that there is such a thing as a piece of a field that will become bottle to a field despite the fact that it itself isn't plantable. Because let's say you have a ridge. You have a rocky ridge along which you walk within the field. So that's called part of the field. Nobody can say, I'm sorry, we can't count that. But I mean, that's part of my meaning of a field. I walk along that ridge. It's the very convenient for me. Or if I have a place where water will pool in the bottom of the field, that all goes to view is part. That's like the puddles that I use. It's very good. The land keeps the water. It's part of the contour of the field. So there, it's bottled to the field, despite the fact that I don't intend to actually plant in it. So those kind of things, Hanu Nagani de Aramikru, or Shidra de Aramikru, that you would call the puddling areas of the land, or the ridges of the land, and that's something that's obviously bottled to the land. So if it's Lamala Miyasara, so then it's not bottled to the land, it's too inconvenient. Now you'll tell me, okay, but I mean it's its own soda. No, it's not suitable for planting. So it doesn't take on the dinim of its own soda. That's what we're referring to. Okay.
It's counted in the amount.
So if it's less than 10, yes, so then it's counted in the amount of the field. Okay, so that means that if it doesn't have the thing in it, the water in it, or if it is suitable for planting, then even if it would be higher, that's irrelevant. To the heckish, it's irrelevant. You're going to have to include that area. You want to call it a different field. It makes no difference whatsoever. That area you're going to be paying for the same way you're going to be paying for the other area, and therefore you're just spinning wheels in characterizing it as field section A and field section B. I mean, who cares? We're going to measure the amount that it's worth, and that's all, worth, when I say worth, I mean in terms of the objective value the Torah gives to it, and that's it. That's in terms of Hegdash. Now, by Mecher, where we're talking about buying and selling, obviously there are other issues that are involved. Buying and selling is a function of its value to the person who's buying. Clearly, it is very, very difficult to bring your tractor up to the top of some ridge, even if it's suitable. We're going to schlep it up there with a pulley, and now you're going to deal that area. But I mean, that's crazy. So that really lowers the value of a field. So that if a guy is going to be paying you for good quality real estate, he's not going to include that kind of thing in his purchase. So there, it's, indeed, it says, it says in the Mishnah, so somebody defines the area that he's selling agriculturally wise as an area suitable for the planting of a Beit Kur, and we find there, Nikaim, Amukim Asrat Vachim, Oselaim, Givoim Asrat Vachim, Ein Nimda Dinima, that's not counted, less than that is counted, Pachot Mika Nimda Dinima, and there Maruk Vabarcham, as opposed to what he said over here by Hegdish, said, that's true Ava Pisha Einamalei Maya. You won't count them even though they can theoretically be planted. Why is that my time? Omer of Papa, what do you mean? Because I know Damro Tishi, Tenet Motav Vesavachat, when a guy gives his money for beautiful Florida swampland, you know, it ends up He comes out there and looks at us. We all know the horror stories. So here's this beautiful field. The guy says, what do you want? It's exactly what I said. There's a Beit Kur. I mean, the fact that it's in 12 different places at different heights, and you're going to have a hovercraft tractor. I mean, that's not a problem, is it? So, of course, over there, the guy will say, this is not included in the Beit Kur. So now my question is, okay, so we've explained now that there's two standards, one vis-a-vis Hegdish and one vis-a-vis Mecher. What about Hacha? What about over here where you're trying to impress a woman, right? So here's the bowerbird, quack, 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 and he's showing his Beit Kur to his putative mate. And the question is she going to be impressed by the Hegdish measurement, or is she going to be impressed only the way the farmer is going to be impressed by saying, I can't get a tractor up there. Why would I think that it's different than the farmer? Because we could say that lehegdish midaminallah, and we could say lamechra midaminallah. And the reason, why would we say lehegdish midaminallah if we're really talking about value? Because she's not going to be working this field, right? In other words, he's trying to show her he's got the land. So what's she going to do? She's going to now sit and make an analysis. What, you mean you're going to get your tractor all the way up there? It's going to be a lot of trouble. So what's he going to say to her? What's your business? I got the land. I'll produce the land. I'll have to work harder. But that's not your problem. That's my problem. So Enoch Hinami says the Gemara, Mistavra, it's reasonable. That Lehegdish Midaminimah, that there we would say that we could include those areas. Why? Because he can say to her, the Omar La Anatarakta Vizarano Amaitina, look, it's my problem. I'll take the additional tircha of getting up there and planting all the areas. I'll bring the important thing for you is, where's the beef? I'll bring the beef. That's all that's important. I don't think it would impress Mrs. Bowerbird, I must tell you. But okay, maybe humans don't have the same standards. Our dear president, please give it to us. Rabbi Meir Omer, now that we've opened up the Pandora box of conditions, that's what we started doing over here. First, we didn't even realize we were dealing with conditions. You know, it sort of snuck up on us. We were talking about Me'achshav and Le'achar Moti. And then it turned out, but that could be a condition. And then we got into the Almanat and Rebbe and the Chachomim, and all of a sudden we find ourselves smack bang in the middle of the Dinim of Tznoyim. Boy, was that sneaky. So now we finally get to the Mishnah, which indeed deals with the way in which the Torah provides for the making of a condition. Because it's by no means evident that just because your intent is a condition, that therefore we can legally build a condition into a contract, or into a sale, or whatever type of transaction we have. Because, I mean, a condition, in a sense, is a paradox. Because on the one hand, you're saying you want something, and on the other hand, you're saying you don't want something. So that the instrument itself, I mean, either it's effective or it isn't effective. How can you build into an instrument of transaction? How can you build in the question of your want or not want? So the interesting thing is that we have, actually, a very fabulous example of exactly this thing. And that was the story in the Midbar when the Bnei Gad of Bnei Reuven came along and they requested from Moshe Rabbeinu the right to take a Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael instead of in Eretz Canaan along with everybody else. They focused on the Golan, or on the Eiver HaYarden. They liked the fields and they liked the topography, and it was perfect for the type of lifestyle that they led. They were ranchers and they're big ranchers. Adayom, it's the only ranchers we got really, other than Sharon, right? But so we got to get up there to Eiver HaYarden. So they wanted that area. And so Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, okay, we'll make you a deal. If you guys become the Marines, in other words, you're always the first troops out there. You help everybody fight for their chelek in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Canaan itself, then we let you keep the area that is yours. Now, this is a chalukah to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not just a promise. In other words, so he's defining the nachla of the Negev of Bnei Reuven as Eiver HaYarden. But what if they don't keep to the Tanai? So then what do we say? We say to them, well, you said? Okay, so we said, okay, but. I mean, you gave it to us, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu there goes out of his way to say, but if you don't, then you're going to get the Yerusha just like anybody else in plain old Eretz Canaan. Now, why did he have to say, but if you don't? I mean, wouldn't we think that if it's possible to build a condition into something, then michlal heina tashomei alav. I mean, if I say to you, if you do, so then you're smart enough to understand, but if I don't, then I won't. And yet, for some reason, Moshe Rabbeinu needed to say, but if you don't, then you won't. Why do I need to say that? Therefore, says Rabbi Meir now in our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir Omer, kol tnai she'eno kitnai v'nei gad v'nei ruvein, eno tnai, that actually the Torah over here is giving us a paradigm of the concept of a tnai, And even though it's very clear to me what I mean, that doesn't change the realities of the legalities. It's not what you said. And therefore, we do not say Michlal Avatashu Me'ahein. And unless I double the Tanai, it's called the Tanai Kaful, and I say what will happen if this and what will happen if the opposite of this. So I have to say it in that way, then it's not going to be a kosher Tanai. Now we're going to focus over here on only one of the many issues that we actually learn out of Vnei Gadu Vnei Ruvein, which is the din of Tanai Kaful. There's also other issues that are fundamental here, which we're going to discuss later. So now, the machlokas that we have in our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir says, this issue of Tanai Kaful is clear to me from the story of Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain, and we do not say Michlal Avat Asher Me'ahein, and you absolutely must say what's going to be or what's not going to be. Says, and look at the Pasuk, says Rabbi Meir, Shenema, Vayomer Aleihem, Im Yavru Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain, that if the Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain will go over Itchem at Hayardain, Kol Chalutz L'milchama Lifnei Hashem, and they're going to fight now as the Chalutz, so there'll be the front troops in this battle. Then give them the Eretz HaGilad. But, continues Moshe Uchtim, but v'im lo yavru chalutzim mitchem, if they're not going to go in front of that army, then let them just be like anybody else. No reason we should give them some special attention. Says Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel, what in the world are you talking about? This is not b'chlal. Think about this for a minute. Moshe Rabbeinu tells you, okay, if you go ahead and you fight, then you're going to get Eretz HaGilad. Yes. Okay, now what's the implication? That's all. That's all he would have said. What are the implications? If I don't go ahead and fight, then I won't get Eretz HaGilad. Yeah. And what will I get? Well, I didn't say you'll get anything. I just said you won't get Eretz HaGilad. Now, how do I know? I mean, maybe that's the whole point. You lousy no-goodness, which is the way he starts off talking to them. You bunch of jerks. This is the kind of stuff we had before when people didn't want to come into Eretz Yisrael, and you know, then they have to justify it. No, it's not that, and it's not that we're rejecting, it's just that we want this. So maybe all the Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, okay, I'll tell you what, you guys. You can forget about Eretz Canaan, all right? Now, if you go ahead and you fight for Eretz HaGilad, then you get Eretz HaGilad. And if not, forget about it. You can stay in the Midbar, as far as I'm concerned. So doesn't he have to say to them, b'feirush, I mean, how can you say b'chlal lav atashu me'ahein? The only hein I would have heard, I mean, b'chlal hein atashu me'alav, the only lav I would have heard is you don't get anything. I wouldn't have heard a thing about getting Eretz Canaan, because that's not what he was talking about. So says Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, I mean, what does this have to do with the issue? Tzaricha davar lomra, obviously he had to say what would be in the other way, because Yom HaLeik, if he hadn't said it, so then yesh b'mash b'mash afilu b'Eretz Canaan lo yinchalu. He's not saying that you're going to get, unless he said so beferish, that you are going to get an Eretz Canaan. He's just saying you're not going to get an Eretz HaGilad. So how can you view that as being extra? He says, hey, that's a darn good point. What in the world did Rabbi Meir mean? How could this be an example of a Tanai Kaful? Normally a Tanai Kaful is not complex. When I'm saying, if you give me $200, this will be a get, so then I'm saying, and if you don't give me $200, this won't be a get. But if I'm telling you, if you fight, you'll get Eretz HaGilad, all I'm telling you is, and if you don't fight, you won't get Eretz HaGilad. But that's not the issue. The issue is, will you get Eretz Canaan? So Rabbi Meir is talking about something that's completely unrelated to the issues that we're dealing with here. Where here it is very clear, and there it's not very clear. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel is right. Rabbi Meir says, wait just a minute. Of course I agree that he's right. But there's two points in what Moshe Rabbeinu says. One point of what Moshe Rabbeinu says is, you won't get an Eretz HaGilad. And the other point is that you will get an Eretz Canaan. Now, I wasn't talking about the part about getting an Eretz Canaan. I was talking about the part in which he seems to be saying something extra, which is, you won't get an Eretz HaGilad. That's what bothers me. Because if you're right, if that's the whole point, that Yitzhak that love the Tanaka Fuludiyat. The only thing we're trying to do is to clarify the way Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says we have to clarify this. Then why doesn't it say, Vim lo yavru, if they don't go and fight, then v'nochzu betokachem. Then they're going to get like everybody else. Why does he have to say, Be'eretz Canaan lamali? I mean, I understand that myself, right? So the point over here is that we're saying two completely different things. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, they will take the Achuzah with you. Hey, but let me tell you something. Not in Eretz HaGilad. You can forget about Eretz HaGilad. You're going to get an Eretz Canaan. Isn't that what he's saying? So why does he have to say forget about it? I understood already forget about it, because that was true from the first part of what you said, according to you, Reb Chanina, right?
He already said, if you go, you get Eretz HaGilad, okay? And if we don't go, we don't get Eretz HaGilad, fine. So now you're saying, but what about the other part? Okay, obviously, I need to tell you, you'll get an Achuza. Okay, you'll get an Achuza. Why did Moshe say, and you'll get an Achuza in Eretz Canaan? Uh-huh. Because he needed to make it clear that you're not going to get Eretz Gilad. Otherwise, it's completely irrelevant, Eretz Canaan. Wherever we get an Achuza, right? Is this clear now to everybody? Therefore, time is Rabbi Meir. There's two separate issues. Only one of the issues is irrelevant to Bichlal Avat HaShomayahein. And that's the fact that you get an Achuza. Fine, I agree to that issue. I'm talking about the other piece over here. And that, I'm telling you, is a Raya Tanai Kafulu Diata, which is a very good point. It now turns out Rabbi Meir is being more meduyak in understanding the nature of the pasuk here. Therefore, as the Gemara, and Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel, I mean, isn't Rabbi Meir right? He's focusing clearly on one piece of this pasuk. Says Rabbi Hanina, no, it's not true. Because Ilokatav Rachmona be'eretz Kinan, if it didn't say that, then what would you have said? I would have thought that Hava Amina, if all he would have said is that v'no'chazu b'tochachem, that what he was saying was, I'll tell you what, if you don't go to fight for everybody, you know what we're going to do? You'll get a piece like everybody else. A piece like everybody else where? In Eretz Gilad. Because that's what we're talking about. In other words, you guys already turned your back on Eretz Canaan, right? Okay, so forget about Eretz Canaan. Now we're going to talk about Eretz Gilad. You want the whole Eretz Gilad. Okay, we'll tell you what. You fight for them in Eretz Canaan, we give you Eretz HaGilad. You don't fight for them in Eretz Canaan, then you'll get a piece. We'll split it between everybody. So you'll also get a piece of Eretz Gilad, just like anybody else. You'll all be the same in Eretz HaGilad, because you're going to be like anybody else fighting for Eretz HaGilad. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu needs to make it clear to them that actually, that even if they're not over Chalutzim, they're not going to lose their chelek in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So if it only would have said, v'nochaz betochachem, I would say that you will get a prorated portion of Eretz HaGilad, because that's the place where indeed you worked for and you captured it, as we learned it was Menashe, Mocher ben Menashe, that went out and they single-handedly went and they fought for the Gilad and so on. Okay, there it makes sense that that piece you can get. But in Eretz Canaan, perhaps you shouldn't get at all. It's not a good example of needing a Tanai Kaful, because we don't say Michlal Hein Atashomei Alav or Michlal Lav Atashomei Ahein. Everything would have been very unclear.
Whereas Rabbi Meir says, Rabbi Meir, Betochachem implies, Kolei Chadit L'chu Mashma. Betochachem means wherever you have. And therefore, the only point of saying Eretz Canaan is indeed to imamayit, that they won't be able to take Eretz Gilad, despite the fact that it seemed pretty clear, apparently Michlal Hein, you do not Shomei Alav.
And in fact, in the Braita, Rabbi Chanina talks this out. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel said in the Braita, look, you want to consider this as a parallel to daily life? I'll give you a mashal, okay? Here's a very good way to understand it. Somebody comes along and he's now giving out his properties before his death to his children, okay? So he's machalik nechasav levanav. So he says, okay, son A gets sada A. Son B gets Sada B. So Ploni Bini Yirash Sada Ploni. Ploni Bini Yirash Sada Ploni. Now he comes to Son C. So he says, okay, Son C, we have a super duper field for you, baby. And if you pay some extra money into the kitty so that everybody is going to enjoy that, so then you give Matayim Zuz, and then you go ahead and you can be Yorish that field. Now if he continues talking, and he says, but if you don't give that extra money, then you will split in those other fields that I gave to my other sons. Now, I mean, think about this for a minute. If the father hadn't said that last statement, what would you have said? You would have said, look, I already gave out the other fields to the other kids, right? Okay. So, mi garam lo lirashi mechav b'shan nechasim. What allowed son C to get a portion in Sada A and Sada B? Only the fact that the father continued speaking and said, look, you know, if you don't like this arrangement, so then you can get a piece of that. But if he hadn't said that, then obviously I would have concluded, look, I already gave A to A and B to B. I mean, there's nothing to discuss about A and B. So that what we're going to do now is we're going to discuss C, but I'm not giving the whole C to you because you're not paying the difference. Isn't that what you would have thought? Isn't that what the court would have said? Okay, well, that's exactly what's going on with Moshe Rabbeinu. So I don't understand why you think that he didn't have to say it. Obviously, if he hadn't said it, I would have said, look, I already gave out Eretz Kanan to everybody else. You don't expect you're going to get that. You're only going to get your chelek in Sodeh Si. No? Makes a lot of sense to me, says Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. So, mi garam lo lirashi b'chav b'shar nechasim. What was it that makes Son C have any legal claim to Sodeh A and Sodeh B? Tfelo garam lo. It's only those extra words. That's the only thing. Says Gemara, wait a second over here. This metaphor doesn't work. Because that's not what Rabbi Chanina said in the Mishnah. Now, the truth is, obviously he wasn't saying it about the Mishnah. He was saying about his response to Rabbi Meir, the last piece, right? Remember, what is the last, first in the Mishnah, what does he say in the Mishnah? In the Mishnah we have a very simplified argument, and it's a bit simplistic, because the way it appears in the Mishnah, which is the derech of the Mishnah, to make it appear simplistic, and then we start taking it apart and realize there's many levels to what's going on. So the Mishnah is a very simplistic kind of argument between Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir seems to be saying the whole thing needs to be kaful. And Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel is saying, what do you mean? It's not because it's kaful, it's because the whole thing needs to be said. Otherwise, I would have thought that they don't get any kind of nachala. Right? Sha'afilu be'eretz kenan lo yinchalu. What are those words? Afilu be'eretz kenan lo yinchalu mean? Nothing. Nowhere. No nachala. Stay out there in the midbar, right? But that's not what it's saying here in this marshal. In this parallel that he's trying to bring you from daily life, he's not talking about you get nothing, right? That's not what he's saying. He's just saying, I already gave out Sada A and Sada B. So how does that fit in the Mishnah? That's the Gemara's kasha. And we already know the answer. The answer obviously is that the Braita is defining the later response of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, who explained why nonetheless I need the words Be'eretz Kinan to tell me that you even get in Sada A and B. But you're right, I don't need those words to tell me you get in Sada C. Okay, but the Gemara's initial response here was to think that the Braita was going directly on the Mishnah, and therefore it was meant to be a mashal for what Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel had said in the Mishnah. And therefore the Gemara asks, but it's not the same at all, says the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Valo danya mashal lematnitin. This mashal isn't like the Mishnah. Hatam katani, yesh b'mashma sha'afilu be'eretz kinan lo yinchalu. Afilu means even, not only, right? Even. In other words, the correct mashal would have been, which wouldn't have made any sense because nobody would have believed it, but Alma Kvela la Eretz Gil Adnami Mahani. Certainly what Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel was trying to say in the Mishnah was that now that we have the Kefal, now you get a Yerusha in Eretz Gilad. We're not talking necessarily about Eretz Kanan. Until then I would have thought you didn't get in Gilad either. But here all Rabbi Chanina says in the parallel, this mashal simply says, Miga Ramla Lirashi Mechab Bishar Nechasav. What was it that allowed this son to have a piece of the action in Sada A and B? It's only Kvelo Garamlo. Ama Kvela, the only need for the repetition was to allow him Lashar Nechasimu to Kamahani. But as far as getting a piece of the action in the third field, that I don't need the Kvela for. So how do you explain that? No. Kasha, the Kami, the name of the Rebbe Meir, Venechazu, etc., etc. But the first response in the Mishnah, he was just speaking simplistically. Before Rabbi Meir defined, Rabbi Meir afterwards zeroes in on the pasuk and he says, wait a minute. For that, it would be enough to say, v'no chazubatochachem. So then Rav Chanina explains, no, but v'no chazubatochachem may be v'no chazubatochachem beretz hagilah. Right? So at the first, before Rabbi Meir explained what he was asking, there Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel said, what kind of ridiculous thing is that? I would have thought that they're not going to get a Yerusha. Says Rabbi Meir, well, I mean, to tell you to get a Yerusha, all you have to say is, you'll get a Yerusha. Ah, says Rabbi Chanina, well, but you wouldn't know they get a Yerusha in Eretz Kinan. You would think they get a Yerusha only in Eretz Gilad. Lema davar domeh, you want a marshal? Here's the marshal. A guy gives out the field A and B, which is Eretz Kinan, to his sons, to 10 sons. Now he comes along now for the other two sons, and he says, okay, now you guys can pay and get this super duper sada. So now, but if you don't pay, then we'll go and split up A and B too. So obviously, the only reason they're going to get A and B is because he says, if you don't, we're going to go back to A and B, which now becomes Eretz Kanan. That was where Rabbi Meir had already asked his question a bit better. So then, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel responds with this metaphor. But certainly, it wasn't meant to be for the Mishnah. I mean, it's obvious, no? So, Lokasha, this one is talking about before Rebbe Meir said the words, it would have been enough to say v'nechazu, etc., unquote. So Ami Kami, the name of Rebbe Meir v'nechazu, and Harlebata, the name of Rebbe Meir v'nechazu. Okay, so this now, I must tell you, there is a lot of discussion between the Rishonim about what precisely the reason is that we would have thought that they would get in Eretz Gilad and not in Eretz Canaan. In what sense is this really that there was a Nachala? Is it because of their rejection? That they said, we don't want Eretz Canaan, which is how Moshe Rabbeinu took it, l'chatchila? Is it because of the fact that they didn't fight for Eretz Canaan? I mean, if they didn't fight, then why would they even get Eretz Gilad? Even though they fought for that? I mean, everybody else fought for everything. Or is it because they didn't take the lead? And that's the issue, not taking the lead, together with having made this agreement, l'chatchila. That's already a lot of machlokas in here between the various shitas and Tosfos and Rashi about what the point is. Tosfos says, obviously they would have had to fight for the whole thing, because everybody fought for the whole thing. The only addition, the 200 zuz, is not the fighting. The 200 zuz is being in the forefront to be the chalutzim. They would certainly need to fight. Rashi's approach is that, well, since they single-handedly took care of the Golan, so that would be the equivalent of the fighting that they would need to do in Eretz Canaan, which Tosfos rejects. Because everybody was fighting all over. We didn't really have that sense yet. It was just a single group that was fighting. Okay, that already has a lot to do with the whole story of the Yerusha, the Sheva Shekovshu, the Sheva Shechilku afterwards, and the way that they were fighting separately in Tanakh, where we find various Shvatim went after different areas all on their own. They didn't have the benefit of everyone. Relates to the whole issue later on in David HaMelech's conquering the Aram Tzova, that he didn't use all of the Shvatim, or maybe he did, but he didn't get the Rishus of Sanhedrin, all kinds of machlokas. We showed him about what exactly the problem is in Surya and why he doesn't have the Kiddushas, with the three separate issues that are involved there. This is a very, very complex Sugya, and it's a very rich Sugya in terms of its relationship to the mode of Kibush Haaretz. But in any event, in terms of the issues of Tanai Kofo, we simplified it and just dealt with the main points, which is the machlokas of Gabi Tanai Kofo. Now, what's interesting is that there is a very primal, the most primal Tanai is not the Tanai of Bnei Gad or Bnei Reuven. It's actually the description of the human condition is the first Tanai. And that was said to Kayin, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Halo im tektiv se'et, v'im lo tektiv, l'petach hatat roveitz, etc., etc. So there he's describing to Kayin, who is shocked by what has happened, same way we are. Whoa, what did I just do? So there HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, look, this is the way it goes, you know. If you're going to take things in hand and you're going to make something good out of this life, then you're going to get something out of it, say it. But if not, you should know, you're going to go to hell. I mean, there's a petach chatat roveitz. As soon as you get into this planet, you're in trouble. I'm warning you right now. Okay. So then, why was that necessary? There again, we should have the same machlokas. So it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with Rebbe Meir. Because, I mean, why did he have to say, v'im lo tetiv? He could have just said, v'im tetiv se'et, then Kain would have gotten the idea. So, mechlal heinot ha'shomei alav, right? But v'im lo tetiv, you're in trouble. So, ask the Gemara, therefore. So, bish lemel Rebbe Meir, hainu dichtiv im tetiv se'et, v'im lo tetiv, lepetach hatat rovetz. But according to Rebbe Chanina, that we don't need a tnai kaful, so why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to use a tnai kaful when he was talking to Kain? So, lomeli.
Was
it, no, the function of Tanai is the same. Lomali, because Salka Daita Chanina im tetiv agra. I would have thought, no, I couldn't I have read that like this. Im tetiv se'et. Remember, se'et means you're going to get something out of this, right? So then what do you hear? God tells you, okay, look, if you work on this, you're going to get something out of it. So, okay, what I'm hearing is, and if I don't work on this, I'm not going to get something out of it. That's all I hear. So then that means I can decide that I'm not going to get something out of it. But it doesn't say, if you don't work on this, you're going to go to hell. It doesn't say that. So therefore, that needs to make clear. So if it would have said, in tetiv, agra, im lo tetiv, lo agra, velodina, I would say, okay, God is just giving you an opportunity to get something. It's up to you. If you want to lazy around and not get anything, you're not going to go downhill. You'll just be the same. Therefore, kamash malam, that no, there's no such thing as just being the same. You're either going up or going down. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to explain to him, look, elecha teshukato, you should know, as the Gemara says, Ko Masao Matano Hino Ala Bechaz, we had before. There's only one thing that this world is interested in, and that's absorbing you. So either you are going to do the work, or it's going to get you. But there's no way that you can just sit here without being impacted. That's for sure. So that's not a good example of the need for Tanai Kofel, because again, Rav Chanina ben Gamliel says, it wouldn't have been mashma there what it is that was said. It's the same as the case in this Mishnah. Okay, now let's move on to the story of Abraham and Eliezer, Ibn Abraham. Now, he too makes a Tanai Kofel, because he needs to make it clear to Eliezer that if Lamaisa, you will not get my son a wife from over there, because they won't want to give her to you, then you will be clear of this curse that I've put upon you. If you come to my family and they refuse to give you the daughter, now, I mean, isn't that obvious? The guy says, you know, I want you to swear that you'll be damned if you don't do this. Okay, so, but if I do this, then obviously, I mean, then I've done what I'm supposed to do, right? And yet, for some reason, Avram has to tell him, no, asti na kemi alati. So I understand why, according to Rabbi Meir, Avram Avinu had to tell Eliezer, asti na kemi alati. But according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, what was the point of saying that? It's unnecessary. Says Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, it's not unnecessary, because it's true. If he hadn't said that, okay, so then I would have thought that I said, you go and get that girl. Now, you go and get that girl means take a big bash her over the head, or bash the parents over the head if they don't want to get her, and just drag her here, okay? Just bring her. I didn't say you can go, and if they politely refuse, walk away and smile and say, all right, we'll try our luck elsewhere. I never said that. I said, get the girl.
Pull out your clutches.
Exactly. Do what you got to do. Kamashmalan. Therefore, we need to say, okay, if you go there, you went to my family, and they refused to give you the girl, okay, so then ayitana kimi alati. Yeah, but so then why do we need the other part? Imlo tovea isha lamali. What about the whole discussion about, and what about if the girl doesn't want to come? What do I do then? No, because they're also itzrif. I might think, suppose the family agrees. And what's interesting is, of course, that they ask her. And that's what they use, as what they think they're going to use, as the solution to their problem. Not wanting, but... So, Hechan and Hechal al-Ludidu, so they're saying, well, yes, of course, we're very much in favor, but let's ask the girl. So, Velo Nechal al-Ludidah. Okay, so over there, Avram never said, he said, bring the girls. Okay, look, she's all of 3 years old. Pick her up, put her on the back of the camel in a sack, and walk off. So, Naite Bal Korcha, Kamash Malan, therefore comes to tell me that there too, if she doesn't want to go, or if they don't want to go, you are clean of my Allah, and there's no problem. There's a little bit of a weird piece over here, because from Rashi, the mashma'ut is that the shavua is lo tikach isha levni livnot knan. And so it says, according to what Rashi is saying, then it seems to be saying that if they refuse to give you the girl, then you can take an isha livnot knan, which is not mistavra at all. Therefore, Tosfos says that can't be what it means over here. It's simply the question of whether the klola will be chal or not, is what we're saying. Did you do your job? We're saying, if you do this, you did your job, and you're free of further responsibility. Not that then you can go and take a wife from a benot khan. Because he says, beferish, not that, or later. He says, as Rashi says, himself in Chumash. And you can go to Benos Inor and Eshkol Mamre, but don't start thinking that you're going to be able to go to Stam the Benot Kanan. Okay, so now, Bishleim Rabbi Meir, we got another thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives us a Brit in Bechukotai, where he says, Im Bechukotai te lechu vit motzotai tishbu vasitem otam. Then we have a whole list of wonderful things. And then it goes to say, Im Bechukotai timasu. So then there's all kinds of horrible things, right? So, according to Rabbi Meir, I understand why I need to know the wonderful things, and then I need to know the horrible things, because I need a Tanai Kofel. But according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, just tell me, in the Chukotah Telecho, these great things will happen, from which I understand that if not, Michlal Einat HaShomei Alav. Says Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, well, I understand, what do you mean? In the Chukotah Telecho, I give you a lot of brachot, just like by Kain, just like the Tetiv Seid. But in the Chukotah Timasu, fine. So then I don't care about you. You know what? Just go on your own. Whatever happened to you, happened to you. Lo bracha, lo kalala. Kamashmalan, that this is an either-or situation. You're playing a zero-sum game over here. There's no way to get something out of it and not lose in the process if you mess up. So be shown the Rabbi Meir, and there's another one of these in Tanakh. Because Heiner Dichtiv, that's why it says in Yeshayahu, Im tovu shmatem tuva aretz tochelu. But im tmeanu miritem cherev tuklu. Okay, so you need to say both, according to Rabbi Meir. If you're good boys, tuva aretz tochelu. If you're bad boys, so then cherev tuklu. But, I mean, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Alamali. Same thing, Yitzrich, Sakadat Ramin, im tovu tova, v'im tmeanu, lo tova, v'lo ra'a, kamash malan, that indeed, it's a zero-sum game. By the way, what does that mean? I mean, not you quoted it. Well, cherev tu uklu. What? You're going to eat the sword? I mean, it's not te'achalu. You will be eaten by the sword. What is the cherev tu uklu supposed to mean? Because it's mash, but your food will be swords. How do you eat a sword? Omar Rava, oh man, there's a lot of pita out there that tastes that. You might as well be eating swords. I mean, to try some of this, the pizza they got in Rava. I mean, what we have is milcha gulalmita. He used this kosher salt, you know, the sea salt, big, thick, coarse with stones. So milcha gulalmita and na'ama desare akusha, this hard, you know, they claim it's healthy, you know, this hard saorim barley bread, and eat that together with some onions. Oh boy, you know, that's like eating swords. The amamar pat puranicha reva. This type of bread that's dried out, together with salt and betzalim, are kashim laguf kecharavot. You might as well be eating swords. So that's what Yeshayahu was referring to with eating swords. Actually, this was the standard breakfast in Yerushalayim during the tough years.
Yes.
Yeah, my father's atzal, this is they used to go out every day with this. They went to cheder exactly with this. That's fascinating. That's all there was. All right. I suppose we'll have to wait till tomorrow. It's going to rain. Yeah. Kabe Hegdish tonight. Hamagdish sadeu b'shaat ayovel noten b'zerach chomer sorim chamishim shekel kesef. Hayunik emabukim asrat vachim oslaim gvohim asrat vachim en nimdadinima. Pachot mikan nimdadinima vavinaba. Nihit b'hadayar lo kachru nikachru b'yapay nafshayu. V'chi teima kamadolavi beit kur lo choshi v'raminu. Sot matamud lomar. Lefishinem are zera chomer saorim b'chamishim. En li elashik dish. Exactly binyan hazeh. Minayin l'rabot letach. Or a chatzi letach. Or a sor. Or a tarkav. Or a chatzi tarkav. Vil rov aminayin. Talmud omar. Sadeh mikol makom is prorated like this. Omar maruk v'bar chama. What we're talking about here is mikoyim melei mayim askina. Mishum delav b'nei zriyaninu. Tekanami diktani du min eslaim gvoyim. Shma mina. Yach yafil pachot b'kanami. No. Because Hanan Dagani Daramikur or Shidra the Aramikur, and therefore they're bottled to the field. Nagabi Mechertnan, Homer Lakavero Beitkur Afarni Mocherlaka, Vayusham Nekaima Mukimas Ratvachim, Oslaim, Givoimas Ratvachim, Enim Dadinima, Pochotmika Nim Dadinima. Now here, Marukva Barkama says that Afapisha Enam Leimai, my time Homer of Papalvisha Enadam Rotseshi Tenet Motabas Dachat. So my question is, how about in terms of our mission? How come I? Do we say that as far as this woman is concerned, lahegdish medamin en la, or do we say lamecha medamin en la? Says the Gemara, mistaver lahegdish medamin en la, because he can always say to her, look, I mean, ana tarachta v'zarano maitina, it's none of your business if I have to float up my tractor. Rabbi Meir Omer kol tanai shenu ketanai v'nei gudav v'nei ruvein, Eno tonight. Shnemar vayomer lehem im yavru b'nei gad b'nei ruvain v'chtiv im lo yavru chalutzim. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says that was tzarech hadavar la'omer. Shem Malach came yesh b'mashma shafilu b'eretz kenan lo yinchalu. Shaper kamel Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel to Rabbi Meir. Amalach Rabbi Meir. Well, obviously I agree to that. But he saw gadaitich lav tonight kafulu diata lichtav v'im lo yavru. What's this Eretz Canaan jazz? Eretz Canaan is coming to Tabi and not in Eretz Agilad, you see. So, Lomali, Shema min ala tzraika fulu diata. Rebbe Chanina begam liol, no. Ilo katav rachmon of Eretz Canaan, hava min of anoch zu betoch achem, means only in Eretz Agilad. But in Eretz Canaan, bechlau you shouldn't get. And Rebbe Meir says, betoch achem would have meant kol hecha de itlachu. That's for sure, mashma. Tanya Omer Rabbi Chanina begam liol, Mashal ma davar dome la adam shayem mechalek nechasav levanav And he says, okay, Ploni b'ni yirash sada ploni, Ploni b'ni yirash sada ploni, Ploni b'ni yitain matayim zuz, v'yirash sada ploni. No. So, then he continues on to say, v'im lo yitain yirash mecha b'shana chasim. So, obviously, mi garam lo yirash mecha b'shana chasim, only kve lo garam lo. Wait a minute, that's not the same as the Mishnah. Hatam katani yesh b'mashma sh'afilu b'eretz kedan lo yinchalo. Mashma that the kveila helped him to get Yerusha b'chalal, even in Eretz Gilad too. So Eretz Gilad na'amimani, whereas here he's saying, mi garamlo l'rashi mechav in the first two fields, kveilo garamlo. So you see, you only need, alma kveila is only l'chashar nechasavud kamani. That's not a problem, l'kasha. Ha'amakami the name of Rabbi Meir v'nechazu, etc., and all about it, the name of the Rabbi Meir v'nechazu. The Bishlam of the Rabbi Meir and the Chivim Tetiv Se'ed v'lotetiv v'petach hataproveitz El Rabbi Chanina Lomali. Because Sarkat Ha'et Chanina Im Tetiv Agra Im Lo Tetiv Lo Agra V'lodina Kamash Malan Bishlam of the Rabbi Meir and the Chiv Az Tina Kemi Alati El of the Rabbi Chanina V'gam Lio Lomali Yitzrich Sarkat Ha'et Chanina Echel Nechel Al-Lidida V'lo Nechel Al-Lididu Ma'idi Bal Korchai Kamash Malan. And what about im lo tovei ishalamali? Itzrich sakdat chamin hechad nechalu ledidu, velo nechala ledida to the girl. Naite bal korcha kamash malan. Vishlam the Rabbi Meir and dechtiv im bechukotai teleichu, v'im bechukotai timasu. But the Rabbi Chanina began liya lamali. Itzrich sakdat techamina im bechukotai teleichu bracha, and im bechukotai timasu lo bracha velo klala kamash malan. Vishlam the Rabbi Meir and Tekhiv im tovu ushmaatem v'im temeranu umritem. Elo Rabbi Chanina begam liya lamali. Yisrach sarkatay tach im tovu tova v'im temeranu lo tova v'lo ra'a kamashma no cherev tu uklu. What does that mean even? My cherev tu uklu. Omar Rava milcha galal nita na'amad esari akusha ubetzali. Di omar ma'pat purani chareva b'melach. Uvetzalim kashim laguf kacharabod.